Hey you, welcome to another mini episode of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm Abby Murphy, and on this week's episode, I brought on TikTok's favorite therapist to come on and answer your questions about some really tough situations that happen this time of year during the holidays. If you've never seen At So My Mom's a Therapist, also known as Lisa, her real name, if you've never seen her content on TikTok, definitely check it out. She always has a really fresh and very real and honest perspective on tough stuff that we all go through or things that we know people are going through. If there is a certain part of the interview you want to jump to or a specific question you're looking for, head to the episode description. I've got all of the timestamps listed there. So is this a really crazy time of year for you because people are so stressed with the holidays and everything?
It definitely ramps up. It definitely does, especially if we're going into family situations that tend to like activate our nervous system, bump us out of our zone. So definitely you see a lot more alcohol consumption, shopping. Some people think it's shopping for holidays. It's not just shopping. It's not just shopping for Christmas presents. It's shopping for therapy as well. So yes.
I was about to say, do you notice any problems that pop up in kind of like a trend, like you see people dealing with the same things this time of year?
Anxiety and depression. I mean, you got two choices, but I say both. And you'll see anxiety more around family settings, whatever the family dynamic is. So you'll see a lot more anxiety going, thinking about, okay, I got to go see all the relatives, or I've got this dynamic going on in the house that I've been able to avoid all year or since Easter. And now we have to go back and do it again. And because, you know, our nervous systems don't know time. So oftentimes it can feel like even though we're a grown-ass adult, it feels like we are a little kid going back into our parents' home, and we all turn into little kids going back into our parents' home. So it definitely activates our anxiety. So you'll see the anxious behavior. It also trips a lot of depression as well, or very low moods, whether it's a reminder of not having a significant other or a reminder of like lack of family, or like, oh, that's right, this is my family. Thank you again for reminding me this is the family I have. Or if a loss too, if we've lost somebody, it can definitely kind of tank us as well. So a lot to be sensitive around the holidays.
Oh, I feel like you are the perfect person to talk to with all these questions that my listeners have. They've DM'd me. They want to know your thoughts. Let's jump into them real quick. Okay. So the first submission says, honestly, I hate going home for the holidays. Being surrounded by so many people for days on end really drains my social battery. Every time I try to take some time for myself or skip a family meal to recharge, it causes a lot of tension with my family. My family's starting to feel like I hate them because I don't always want to be around them. How can I manage feeling overstimulated this time of year?
Hey boy, that is a hard one. I so get it. Almost I could feel it. Even like, I don't know if it was just you reading the tone into it, Abby, or but I was like, oh, like I could just feel, because I think that's so relatable to so many people, especially if you're not someone that is, you know, extroverts very much get their energy. They're charged by that interaction. Introverts need to kind of, you know, pendulate out of that in turn, just being isolated, more alone, be able to charge their battery and then go back in. Well, I would say, always say like, oh, sweets. First of all, look for easy ones, look for low hanging fruit. What would be low hanging fruit? Like, I'll go get the ice. Oh wait, I think we're out of alcohol. There's a double. I'll go get the alcohol and I'll get a break from the family all at the same time. Not advocating for upset, you know, heavy drinking. I'm advocating for a trip to the store to go get, to pick up the wine while you're at it. So I would look for ways that that would give your body a reasonable, that they would see it as a reasonable place to get a break, because you need to be able to move yourself out of that environment. I would also look for things that would give you a break from interacting with a lot of adults, even if that is like, okay, I'll take the child. Like, here, give me a toddler. Why? A lot less like directed questions, heavy conversation, just get on the ground and play Legos. You know what I mean? So I would look for like small things that could divert you away from a lot of heavy interaction. But something we keep in mind, and kind of what this gal was saying, is that we go into family not realizing, when everybody comes out of their family with a table set. It's like it's a table set. And we're going to see that in the holidays. So that's a good analogy. And the table is set. We all grow up and we have this is what it means to do family. And I can almost hear her family being like, no, like that's not how our table's set. This is what it means to be family. Mm-hmm. And so she's challenging that. It's almost like she's taking the cup and moving it. And they're like, move the cup back. That's not how we do family. And so recognizing that part of growing up is starting to be able to say, wait, that's how they see family. That's how they set the table. And what pieces do I want to move? And she's butting up against the sense to say, is it okay that it's upset? Is it okay that it ruffles their feathers? And how do I learn to be able to communicate to say, and I would do what's called a validating loop. I understand. I validate. I recognize this isn't the way you do things. And then I loop it back to me, but I just know this is what I need to make it through the holiday. Mm-hmm. So I do a validating loop. I acknowledge, I understand this isn't the way. And they could say, you know, why are you ignoring us? And then I would validate. I recognize that you feel like I'm ignoring you. I see that. However, and then I'd bring it back. I just know this is what I need to get through. We also have to stop expecting that everybody else is going to be excited that we're setting boundaries for ourselves. ourselves. Nobody does. Nobody is like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you set a boundary. We're so proud of you for setting that boundary and taking care of yourself. No, nobody likes a boundary. You're only putting up a boundary because it's needed anyways. If you had space, you wouldn't need the boundary to begin with. So recognizing, oh, if I'm waiting for everyone to be excited, I don't think that's going to happen. How do I start getting uncomfortable and creating communication around what I need to keep myself in a good place?
Yeah. And that sucks, especially when you're seeing family. Maybe this is the only time you're going to see them this time of year. And they don't understand why we're only see each other for 2 days and you want to go sit in your room for a little bit. It's a hard boundary to set.
That's hard for them to compute. So recognizing if we're waiting for them to see it through our eyes, that's not going to happen. So how do I, and you know, I'm so glad you said that because you also tripped on something I think is really important. And that is it helps regulate our body. We can withstand a lot more if we think it's temporary. So if we can even just say to us or you or to you and your partner and be like, okay, we got 3 hours. We got this. We can do this. We got 3 hours. We're going to go home, put on our PJs. We're going to veg. If my body knows there's an end, it's the age old analogy actually we used a lot during COVID, which is like, if you know, it's a half marathon, it's a half marathon. I know there's an ending or a marathon. It's when all of a sudden something seems endless that our body doesn't do super well. So we want to hold it. Like I've got this 3 hours, or I got this. I've got 7 days, 6 days. We're going to do a countdown. So my body knows a time's coming that it's going to get relief.
That's great advice. Okay. Next submission. My family is always hounding me about being the only single sibling left. Keep asking them to stop bringing it up, but they just think that they're joking. How do I get them to understand that this is hurtful?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's such a hard one, especially when they're joking around it and they don't see it. And you're like, oh really? Like again, oh, here's no surprise. I've got a few things to say on this one, but one, I would allow yourself in your own mind, not necessarily allow, but in your body to be able to do or say whatever your body feels like doing and saying. So internally, if they're saying a joke, I'm wondering in your head, if you can just be like, are you f-ing kidding me? But sometimes our body, and I use that word intentionally, sometimes our body needs to be like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, and so I would allow you in your brain to be able to do whatever imagine saying or imagine doing. Like, do I want to imagine running out of the room? Do I want to imagine clocking somebody? No, that doesn't mean I'm advocating for violence, but just to let your body have a place to get out what it feels like is trapped inside, which is they're all joking and funny. And I'm over here and I don't think this is very funny. I would see what can I internally do to make it feel better. The other piece here is I want to point out what they're saying in this question. And that is, what can I do to make them? That's where I would say, doll, you don't have control. You can't make them do anything. And that's where I'd come in and say, I know this is so hard and so frustrating because I don't have control and I can't convince them of anything. And I so badly wish I could. And then I would come back and say, but what do I have control over? What do I have? What can I do that would make me feel better? Do I want to be able to, again, here's that boundary to be able to say, I know you guys think this is funny, but when you start commenting on my singleness, I'm just going to get up and walk out of the room because I don't think it's funny. Mm-hmm. And then you actually have to like do it, right? So now you got to be consistent. So they start talking about it. You just get up. You're not upset. I just get up and walk out of the room.
Remove yourself.
Yeah. Playing Legos on the floor with the toddler again, right? Toddlers are not going to give you shit about this anymore.
You just start pelting Legos at them. You're like, right. It's okay if I'm single. What I think is the hard part about that situation is I feel like the obvious answer is just to tell them to stop, but then they always come back with, well, we're just joking around. It's just, it's funny to us. And it's, you don't know how to get them to move on from the same old joke that they keep.
Exactly. Which is why you're seeing me not take what everyone wants me to say is tell them not to do that. Well, you've been doing that. How's that work for you? Has that worked out or does it keep going? And then we have to say, okay, keep going. If you do that, what's going to happen? Same thing. They're going to do the same thing every year. I would say it one time, you know, you guys have done this every year. I don't find it funny, but if you start talking about it, just so you know, I'm going to get up and walk out. And then you are absolutely consistent. Every time they talk about it, you just get up and you remove yourself, take a few deep breaths, go refill your drink, and then come back in. The other option, and this is about, there's no right or wrong. Another option that you could try, and why are you trying things? Experiment. When you're experimenting, you're trying to see what will land in my body, what will make me feel better. And one of the things you can try is like different perspectives, like when they bring it up to almost like do it for them. Is like when they're like, bring it up or they're like, make a comment about being single as almost being like, I know, oh my gosh, I like can't believe how single I am. And like, almost like I will take it from them and make it my own. And so that I get to, so I shift it so it's a place place that I actually enjoy in my head, in my own head. Like, I love being single at the holidays. It like makes me like I'm so grateful. It's, I mean, like, you know what I mean? So if I can take it and I can make fun of it, but again, you might try that on and one person will be like, okay, I like that. That sits well with me. Somebody else might be like, yeah, that doesn't make me feel good. So you have to try on, see what fits well with you.
Yeah. Maybe turn around and be like, you guys are still married. Don't you hate being married around the holidays?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't you even enjoy those Hallmark movies where they fall in love every single time in like 70 different ways?
Yeah. I love that. Abby, that's exactly what I'm talking about, is like, how can we like kind of play poke fun at it and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're so married. I mean, this isn't even a good relationship. Almost like a little, I'd play a little nasty. Is that, I don't know. You're catching me at the end of the night. Maybe I'd play a little like dirty. Be like,
are we getting spicy, Lisa? Are we getting spicy on the podcast today? Okay. Next question. Okay. During the holidays, I find myself running back to an ex or actually answering one of those you up texts from an old flame. What are some ways I can fight against getting back into something toxic just because I'm feeling extra lonely this time of year?
Oh, I have so much compassion for that. I do. I would have so much compassion and give yourself a lot of grace. Grace means you're giving yourself room. That doesn't mean, sometimes we're afraid of, well, if I give myself a little bit of space or a little bit of compassion, then I'm afraid I'm going to keep taking those texts. And that, no, it's not saying you're advocating for it. It's not saying that, yes, I'm going to do more of that, but can we have a little understanding of what our body's trying to do? And that's how I look at things. Zero judgment. Cause I look at that. What is it you're trying to get? I mean, I'm going to throw this one at you, Abby. I hope I don't put you on the spot, but what do you think these individuals, when they answer those texts, what are they really trying to get?
I feel like they want the instant satisfaction of getting rid of the feeling of I'm single again on Christmas. Yes. I don't want to feel like I'm by myself during this time where you're supposed to be surrounded by love.
Yes. When we feel discouraged or hopeless, we will do things we wouldn't normally do. I'm going to say that again, because I think it's super important. When we start to feel defeated, discouraged, or hopeless, hopeless means I don't think things are going to change. If I've lost hope, I feel it will always look this way. And if I feel like it always looks this way, I will end up doing actions that I wouldn't normally do. So those are tied together. If I feel discouraged or hopeless, I don't think things are going to change. So screw it. I might as well take this guy up on this offer. Those are what that go together. So we want to have a lot of understanding and compassion. And then at the same time, I just don't want to be alone. So I might as well do this. So here's what my encouragement would be. Again, come in with a lot of understanding, compassion, and say, oh, gosh, I understand. I so get this. And then I track it all the way through. So I'll say, that's okay. If you're going to text them, you get the you up text, your body feels it. Let's just see it. Sometimes we get that you up text and your whole body will like light up. It's like, oh, we know it comes with that. So we want to be able to say, okay, you can respond. But before you respond to even the first text, you got to get in front of the whole thing. You can't, once you start it, we lose the ability to do this. So before we even start, I'm going to have you stop right there. And I'm going to have you say, okay, you can answer this text, but let's run this through. If we answer this text, let's just be honest. We might as well embrace it. We're probably going to end up hooking up with them. We're going to feel great in the moment. It's going to feel great. And I run the trajectory all the way through. And then the next day, I'm going to feel like, and if I do this, that's okay. It's okay. I'm going to give, you can do it, but you're signing up for the whole thing. And do I want to feel like this? So I'm not doing it based on the moment or getting that fix that I want. I'm doing it based on the whole trajectory and signing up for the whole thing. And then I give myself the choice.
And that's a great way of putting it, signing up for the whole thing. Cause I feel like in the moment you think the whole thing might not end badly. Yeah. So you think maybe I'm signing up for something better this time, but no.
Yeah. Or we're not even thinking past that moment. And then, so you got to get, now, if you start texting with them and you're texting like all sexy and like all the little, like the little purple face with the horns or whatever that thing is, you know, once we get into that, your body's already kicking in and you're not going to be able to make that choice. So you got to get way in front of it. It's kind of like deciding what you're going to do before you start drinking alcohol. So that's another side story. But like if you're trying to make different choices while you've already started drinking, that's not going to happen, sweets. You got to go before you decide to go out for the evening. You got to decide right then what choices you're going to make before you get into it.
Absolutely. I think people are really, they're going to have to put that on replay when their ex-boyfriend from high school says, hey, I saw you out at the bar. You want to come over? My parents aren't home. Okay. Next question. This is my third Christmas being single. All my cousins and siblings have paired off with their significant others. I have so much anxiety about going into the holidays, knowing I'm going to be the odd one out. It's kind of a similar question. How do I handle feeling like I'm missing out when everyone else seems to have their relationships in order?
Similar to the last one, but I think too, that's just, I mean, there's something too that we often forget. Sometimes we can keep ourselves pretty insulated in a life where we don't have those reminders in front of us all the time. And maybe we even might monitor how much we're on social media so that we're not doing that. And all of a sudden we go into these holidays, everyone's paired off and it's like, shit. Thank you for that reminder. Like, great. Thank you so much, world. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, I'm now like, you know, seventh wheeling over here. Thank you so much. And so it's, again, it's just that reminder right in front of your face. And that's a hard one. Mm-hmm. And that's when I would, again, allow yourself to have breaks so you can kind of, and you may not stay as long as everybody else. And I would give yourself permission. Go late, leave early. If check in with your body and say, how are we doing in here? Are we not doing super well? Do we need to leave a little bit early? Because you don't have to stay the whole time if you are in a lot of pain. And so I'd give yourself permission to say, how are we doing in here? Do we want to leave early? Do we want to go late? The other thing I would encourage you, even before going into the holidays, thinking that might be the case, is really giving yourself some time to, again, consider this idea of like, what do I think? Do I hold this idea in my head that I should be at some place? I'm 30, I'm 35, I'm 40, or I'm 28, I'm still single. And to think, wait, what image do I have in my head? Do I hold this standard that says I should have hit this benchmark by now? I should, mm-hmm. This is what life should look like. And as cheesy as it is, I heard once someone say, like, stop shitting all over yourself. And like, it's so true. Like, this is where I should be. This is what my life should be. I should be married. I should have kids. I should have a significant other by now. And when we do a should, when we use comparison, we've lost the fact that every single path is customized and unique. Nobody has your DNA mixed with your upbringing, mixed with your environment, mixed with your child experiences. So each path has to be customized just for us. So I would bring in that sense of customization along with a sense that says, oh, I'm sad. It is like a loss. I would treat it honestly like a death, even when you see everybody with their partners. And I would say, yeah, it's like a loss. It's a loss not having a partner. And I give it as much weight as if it was a death. Like, I'm sad. I'm sad I don't have somebody to share it with. If you had lost your partner this holiday, how would you treat it going into this event? And I would treat it the same way.
That's serious.
Oh yeah. Because for a lot of people, it's a sting. It's mm-hmm. a sting to see everybody with their partner and to feel I'm missing what I really desire in life. I want to have a partner to share it with. I'm sad that I can't turn to my partner and experience this with them. I mean, it stings. It can very much sting. And so I would treat it with that much tender care.
I was actually in the exact same scenario for Thanksgiving. I'm in a massive family. There's like 10 cousins. Everyone's paired off and I was the only single one. And the thing I had to remind myself, because I felt like I was at the kids' table. I was like, I'm the only person who's not in their adult life. I remember, oh, they have to go do a second Thanksgiving and they have to do all these things that come with having a partner. And it's so nice to not have to do that.
Okay. So even just notice that, even noticing that, how, okay, let me bring in that thought. Does that help me feel a little bit better? But I would leave space to validate too. Like, yeah, this sucked. I miss not having a partner, and validating that in ourselves and being like, yep, yeah, it does. Not trying to rationalize it, not trying to reason through it, not trying to beat yourself up for feeling that way, but just be like, yeah, like validate it. Like, yeah, this sucks. This is a tough one. And almost as if you're talking to yourself and leaving yourself space to feel that way.
Great advice. Okay. Next question. Oh, this is a good one about meeting the parents. So I'm meeting my partner's family for the first time and I'm obviously incredibly nervous, but it's only worse because I know his mom doesn't approve of our relationship. I'm feeling a lot of pressure to prove myself to her and get in the good graces of the rest of the family. How can I prepare myself for this really nerve-wracking situation?
Jeez, that's a hard one. It's a hard one from a body perspective. If you already know somebody's not a fan of you and you're walking into it, that's just hard on your body. It is. It's not like even it's a blank slate. Even if it's a blank slate, let's just imagine for a second, if you're meeting parents and you haven't met them before and it's a blank slate, that's still nerve-wracking. Going in already knowing someone doesn't care for you, I would say more challenging. So two things I would hold in mind. The first one, I would do what's called front loading. Front loading is a term. Again, this is trauma resiliency model, which is not, it's not mine. It's been around for a long time and it's great trauma model. But front loading is this idea of saying, I already know I'm going to go into something that is like stressful as f-. So if I already know that, then I want to like really spend time going in. I would take like a half an hour before going into the night to be like, let me just put on some calming music. I know the environment itself is going to make me charged. And if I get in my thoughts before going in, that's not going to help me feel better. So can I take a bath? Can I put on some calming music? Can I talk to some friends? Can I just be able to front load and try to get my body as calm as possible, knowing I'm going into a situation that's going to be charged already? The other thing I would tuck away before going in the back of your head, when we know somebody does not like us, our body tends to overcompensate. Out of our anxiousness, we overcompensate. So instead of just being neutral, I will totally be on. Like I will be big, I will be talking, I'll feel like I'm overcompensating to make up. So what I would do is, because here's what often happens going in. Let me tell you psychologically what's going on. So I'm going into this event, you don't like me. So I've taken this image in my head, how I think you see me. I know you don't like me. I have this idea. I have movies that play in my head of how I think you see me. And I place them in your brain, in the brain of this other person. And then I go into this event reacting to what I've placed in your brain. So I'm actually reacting to something that is not even there that I've there. And because of that, I'm not reacting to what's really there. And so if I think somebody doesn't like me, I've put that movie in their head, then I'm actually reacting to that. So I'm trying to overcompensate by being nice, overcompensate to try to engage based on something actually that's not even real.
I never would have thought of it that way.
Does that make sense though?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm like, I've totally done that before.
Okay, same. My little younger self like lived there. My 20-year-old self, like she pretty much lived in that. So I would almost like go in being like, no, we don't always have to be smiling. Mm-hmm. Like I look for that middle. What is that middle ground? Not the way over here. You don't always have to be on. Mm-hmm. I almost remind myself, I don't always have to be engaging. How do I just go just to being myself? How do I show genuine interest? I don't have to always be smiling and mm-hmm. I don't have to come in and overcompensate.
Yeah. And especially as women, I feel like we have to be, you know, the hostess. Even if we're not hosting, we kind of have to be the more, I don't know, jovial one. Whereas,
can I help with your boyfriend?
Exactly. Yes.
What do you need in the kitchen? I mean, we do that, right?
Like, we come in with a big bottle of wine. We're like, what do you need? Let me help, please. Yes. Love me.
Yeah. Basically, yes. Please accept me. Please love me.
Please. I love your son. Just accept me. Okay. Last one. Best one. Okay. This one, I don't know how you're going to answer this one. So I'll be curious. I really want to break up with my boyfriend, but as bad as it sounds, I feel like I have to wait for the holidays to end. I don't want to ruin his Christmas or his New Year's, but I'm just done with this relationship. Is it insensitive to end things before a big holiday or event?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I really love that. I love ones that are challenging. I love ones that, I mean, there's some that you can spit out, but this one I'm going to be like, ooh. Mm-hmm. So recognize too, what I'm sharing is just my opinion. So in these kind of situations, I would hold space one to acknowledge that's where you are, right? I'd also leave space to say, if I choose not to, if I am confronted on it, how do I be honest and true to who I am? So if they are like, hey, I feel like you're checked out. I feel like you're done. You know, am I going to be fake? Am I going to lie? Or am I going to be honest? And I would say, be congruent, be true to what's going on inside. That's always sits better in our body, is to have the outside match what's going on the inside. So I would encourage you not to be fake, first thing. And then the second piece, I'd come in and I'd very much say, again, this is, you know, this isn't therapy. This would be just my grandma talking, my yaya, my Greek grandma, be like, well, how treat others how you'd want to be treated. What would be honoring if you were in their shoes? Mm-hmm. What would you want?
The big advice I've heard, people are saying, well, it's almost the nicest thing you can do for them, because they're going to go home and be surrounded by friends and family. But on the flip side, there's still dealing with all the hard emotions of a breakup.
See, I think people forget it's hard either way. It's hard if you do it now. It's hard if you do it later. If you break up now, I mean, there's positives and negatives to both. There's benefits and costs to both. That's why you don't see me. I'm not going to come in and say it has to be this way, because what may be a benefit and a cost is going to be different to each person. Mm-hmm. Somebody may feel like, oh, if I break up with them now, they're going to go home and tell the whole entire family, she broke up with me at Christmas. Who does that? And you're going to always be the girl that broke up with them. Right. The other point is that you have to take it with you too. So again, you're not going to, if you're looking for a logical answer, and I think this is one of the reasons I actually started doing TikTok videos, is everybody wants to be told what to do. Do this. This is the right way. This is the wrong way. And I would say, no, you've got to figure out for you what sits well in your body. It's going to be hard either way. And so I think once we realize both roads are hard, whether you do it now or do it later, both roads are hard.
Are you going to be the girl who ruins Christmas, or are you going to be the girl that was fake during Christmas?
That's it. Yeah.
It's what you got to decide.
And I would say there's not a right or wrong answer. And we got to take that off the table as far as like, what do I do? There's not a right or wrong path. It's saying, how does this sit in my body? And do I like whatever I choose, do I like how I handled it? You don't have control over their hurt. You don't have, by the way, sometimes we forget when both people get into a relationship, both people sign at the dotted line. Mm-hmm. You both sign up saying this may work, this may not work. When you get into a relationship, both people assume the risk. And sometimes we forget that until mm-hmm. you decide to make a commitment for life. And even then it doesn't mean for life, but really make a commitment to try to do it for life. You've signed up to assume the risk that this may work or it may not work. It sucks, but that's what everybody signs up for. When I look at how I handled it, do I like what I see?
That's great. It's a great answer for an area that's very gray. No black and white answers here.
I think those are my favorite ones, because they're not black and white.
There's one piece of advice you could give people going into the holidays, no matter what situation they're going into. What's one thing you'd like to tell them?
You know, I think this is a personal passion of mine. It actually doesn't have as much to do with your family as it does just in general, though it can apply to family. And that is, I would say, be kind. You have no idea what people are going through. I always say this at the end of all my lives. You don't know that person that you are holding the door open for at Starbucks. You have no idea if they just lost their spouse or had something devastating happen to them. So I always say, be kind, because you don't know what people are going through and you don't know their stories. So I would say, look around you, see who just needs to be noticed. You don't know if you smile at somebody, if they're the only person that acknowledged their existence that day, and especially around the holidays. So I would say, whether you're going into family or whether you're going into other people, in going into situations, I would say wherever you can, be kind and listen. I'd always say ask questions and listen, because with listening comes understanding, and with understanding comes a lot more grace and compassion. So I'd encourage you this holiday to listen more.
Listen well and be kind. That's sage advice. Sage advice. Yeah. And you also just started a podcast too. Do you want to plug it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. This is all new. I mean, just started TikTok 6 months ago, and like, it is like, I'm like, whose life is this? Yes, absolutely. We just started. We got our first episode. So excited. We're just shy of 500 downloads. Just launched it last week. It's called same name. So My Mom's a Therapist podcast. It's on Spotify, soon to be on Apple. And we just got an Instagram page up and going. So My Mom's a Therapist. And as always, on TikTok.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for coming on. Your advice was so good. I know people are going to be going crazy for it.
Hey, it was so nice to spend time with you, Abby.
I don't know about you, but I feel like I just got years of therapy just listening to that one episode. And I hope this also helps you going into the holidays dealing with family, a new boyfriend or girlfriend, or just entertained you on your ride home. That's all I can ask for. If you did enjoy this episode, I would love it if you left a 5-star Apple review or on Spotify. It would be the best Christmas present ever. The trailer for next week's full episode of The Breakup Breakdown will drop on Tuesday. We are off next week for the holidays, but I will say the episode that will drop on January 2nd is absolutely worth the wait. It is one of the most intense breakups we've heard about. I recorded the episode earlier this week, and the entire time I was just like, I cannot believe that real people went through what happened in this story. And honestly, I was kind of scared through some of it. So get ready, get your popcorn. It's going to be one of our best episodes yet. See you next year. Oh, I'm sorry. I hate it when people say that. I'll see you on January 4th.